Human nature will admit that something good for us doesn't mean it will feel good now. Being humble, not acting like I'm humble, is not, usually anyways, an enjoyable feeling. This is what Jesus in the Gospel is asking of the religious people of his day, the Pharisees and the elders. To become humble is to be truly holy. In the first reading from Ezekiel, we hear that those who are virtuous require humility to return after falling into sin. We are also called to acquire humility. It is humbling to admit we may have done something requiring us to seek forgiveness. It can be even harder to look at the consequences of our actions, finding ways that we need to repair the damage we have caused. We may want to blame God, however, but in the first reading from Ezekiel, God says that we have ourselves to blame, not God. We could look for a scapegoat, someone else to blame rather than ourselves. This we may find easier than to accept responsibility for our own attitudes or behaviors. Actually, we are provided someone to take away our sins, the innocent God himself, Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We owe you everything. It is our decision, though, to change or not. That is God's gift to us of free will. When we humbly accept that we have failed and need to change, God will restore us to right relationship with him and his kingdom. But we can't take God for granted. No matter how established we may be as Christians, we are still capable of turning away from God. Humility is a protection against thinking highly of ourselves or presuming we are always in God's good graces, no matter what we do or neglect to do. We keep in mind that humility is a requirement to enter the kingdom of God. When we are willing to change our mind and do his will with humility of a little child, we, like the tax collectors and prostitutes who were ready to accept conversion, find ourselves entering the kingdom of God. God is patient, and he wants to give us all sorts of chances to return when we fail. The only one who ultimately fails, though, is the one who won't get up and try again. We do so when we try with an honest and sincere heart, a heart like Jesus has. He's our model and our goal. God is love. When we love God back, we trust him that he will always take us back. So we can keep coming back and continue to invite others to do so right away. The sooner the better. Keep in mind that confession is always available for the asking. Like, why should we wait? We don't want fear or doubt or self-will to prevent us from coming back to God. We can strengthen our belief in a God who is loving, forgiving, understanding, and welcoming. That will build our confidence up. We'll realize that no reputation or status or opinion or expectation should interfere with us accepting God's mercy. Believing in a God and his love is of ultimate importance. It makes all the difference. Like the difference between the apostles Peter and Judas Iscariot. Peter, we know, loved Jesus and trusted that he would be forgiven when he sinned. However, Judas did not love God or believe in him and chose a devastating end. For us, we are asked to be not afraid because God loves us. We can't earn God's love. We already have it. It is a gift we just have to claim as our own. We ask God for help if we find ourselves on the wrong path. As soon as we can, we change our minds and get on the right path. Change is possible for anyone willing to reach out to God. We share this good news of God because we believe that no one is beyond hope. Anyone may be changed. Anyone can ask. So finally, humility is just seeing things as truly they are, and not as we wish or think they should be. Humility is simply the truth, as God sees truth. We believe what Jesus says, that he is the truth. We believe in coming closer to Jesus. We trust that the truth of Jesus is being formed in us. Nothing to be afraid of. Through the sacraments and his word, we find this. We believe and trust that his image, his truth, his reality is far better than any quote-unquote reality we can create for ourselves. We seek and find the truth, Jesus, when we are willing to grow in our knowledge and relationship with God. The first commandment calls us to that. To know God better is to know whose image we are made from, not what image we want to create for ourselves. This authentic image of God, that is what we seek. We're seeking the face of God, that face of God that helps us understand and accept ourselves as the loving image of the Creator himself. That is how we learn to love ourselves, by coming to realize how God already loves us. We become one heart and mind in Christ. Through this experience, we learn to accept ourselves and others. We respond by wanting to know God more, which means loving him more, and at the same time, loving ourselves and neighbor more. Love, simply and dynamically, continues to grow and complete us. God's love. The only thing better than this is waiting for us when we pass from this life, what is called the beatific vision, the vision of being in the presence of the awesome beauty of God. We will hopefully find ourselves in the presence of God, where we will experience constant joy and love, where every satisfaction or desire is fulfilled. That's what all this is pointing to. That is the invitation and challenge Jesus is teaching the Pharisees and elders and us. God bless.